Produced by women about women, Powerful Women Let's Talk is a series of interviews with women who are trailblazers and have helped shape our world, transforming who we are and how we live. Powerful Women Let's Talk is made possible in part by Family Fair, keeping it real.
She founded La Fuente Consulting with a focused mission, bridging cultures, simplifying workplace communication, and more. Ana L. Ramirez Sines, a thought leader, hands-on practical experience in the field of organizational development, in particular diversity, inclusion, and cultural intelligence. She's involved in her community, award-winning for her work, plus a did-you-know fact we must share. Welcome, Ana, to our Powerful Women Let's Talk conversation. Ana, hello to you.
Hello.
Congratulations on your success thus far. And I'm going to get right into you as a young Ana. Were there signs that you were headed to a career in facilitation from the start?
Well, you know, I'm not sure, but I do remember that I was always getting picked to talk. So, and I like being in the front of the line. So I don't know. Those are some early cues.
Wonderful. So how'd you find your niche today with La Fuente Consulting?
So the journey has been long, but I did find purpose when I was early on in my banking career. And I have always been the only in my professional life. And as I started in my career in corporate banking, there were not very few Latinas. I mean, there was two of us in the state of Michigan. And so as I worked through my career, I saw and experienced firsthand what the issues of diversity were. And back then, you know, there was no thing called diversity. We were learning as we went along. So by pure observation and experience through my own career, I found my purpose and decided to launch a company in 2000.
Bring me back to that little girl. Where'd you grow up?
I was born in Mexico on the Gulf in a city called Tampico. And my family left Mexico. My mom was 23 with three little kids in tow, wanted a better future for us. And so we left Mexico and I was two when we came to Texas and then north to the state of Michigan in 1968.
Yes, and here we are, way beyond 1968, but an honor to hear of your powerful experiences. What's La Fuente mean, and why the choice for you?
So La Fuente means the fountain, and I usually save this explanation for the end of my trainings and facilitation that I do, because naturally people ask, but I'm very careful. And La Fuente means the fountain. And for me, I called my company La Fuente because of my religious beliefs and how I live my life. And so that's why I named it La Fuente Consulting.
Who are your audiences? What are they asking of you?
My audiences are wide and varied. So my clients come from a variety of fields, a variety of business sectors and sizes. But I think there's three things that I can point to that no matter the size of the company, no matter the size of the employee base or the sector, I get three things constantly asked. One is, how do I bring a understanding of what diversity, equity, and inclusion is to my organization? Because everybody's got their own thoughts and perspectives of what it is, but how do I build a common language? Two, how do I speak about it authentically when that's not my background or those are not my experiences? And three, how do I create, what processes do I need? What things do I need to do to bring a inclusive culture to my organization?
Tell me about some of your challenges along the way, because it's obvious that you have found your voice, but there must have been challenges, surprises, or thrills along the way.
There were quite a bit of challenges early on. I think the most salient and the most difficult one to really get over throughout my early career was feeling like an oddity, was feeling like a token, was feeling like, since I was the only, people really didn't know what to do with me, you know? They knew I was talented. They knew I had the capability. They knew I had the credentials, the MBA from Michigan. But they just kind of didn't know, like, what to do with me, how to talk to me, you know? And so that was very awkward at the very beginning. I was the one that had to show them who I was, that I was okay, and that I could integrate and do everything else that everybody else did besides my job.
And where'd you get that? Was that a family opportunity? Were your parents supportive of your self-motivation, of praising you, of saying, you go, girl, and you did?
So my role model was my mom. I come from a single-parent home. And for a woman to leave Mexico at the age of 23, not knowing what the future is, you got to have vision, you got to have strength, and above all, you have to be resilient. So my mom was always very supportive, very positive, and she told me I could do anything I want if I just put my mind to it. But if I was going to do it right.
So what motivates you to do your best?
For me, every day I wake up thinking that I have an opportunity to make things better. And it's my choice to do that. And so I do it. And I have a very caring side to me. I believe in people and I believe in their goodness in spite of all the stuff that we're going through, in spite of all the things that we've seen and all the challenges. But I do believe in people and I do believe in the goodness of them. And when I see it play out, it's just my aha moment every time.
How important is your position for companies today?
Critical. Critical. It's absolutely critical. I think the whole Black Lives Matter movement really ripped the Band-Aid off of a lot of perceptions in the workplace and in society, very frankly. And so companies right now are really looking at themselves. Many of them are at different stages of their journey, but they are questioning and looking at where are we and where do we need to go. So this position, whether it's a consultant, whether it's a chief diversity officer, whether it's a director of diversity, et cetera, is critical. Culture in the workplace matters. And so having the leadership team and someone within that team championing and sponsoring the cultural transformation to a more inclusive and welcoming organization is absolutely vital.
And I imagine if one was a fly on the wall, those conversations could be uncomfortable.
They are. They are. And so I think one of the things that I do is I meet people where they are. No judgments. I listen. That's my first rule. I listen. And so people just need to be heard and need to be heard intently and to listen to what they're actually saying so that you can have a very authentic, honest dialogue about what this really means to an organization, this meaning diversity, equity, and inclusion. And they're tough conversations because this work is not for the lighthearted.
You do serve your community. Where does one start to be aware you are in your life on boards, award-winning? Say a young woman wants to get involved in her community. Where does she even start?
I think they first have to just say, what am I interested in? There's so many things to be part of, but do I have an interest? And then the second question is, do I care? Because you got to care. You got to care to be involved. And I think the rest comes. The rest comes by you learning, by you engaging, by you getting yourself, taking the first step to get involved.
Leadership. What traits are important for today's leaders, especially in the world of diversity and inclusion, Anna?
So I was having this conversation with a client from down south, and we were talking about what is it going to take for him to move his organization forward. And an experienced gentleman, he is absolutely brilliant, heart is in the right place, wants to do the right things. But he said to me, I have difficulty because no matter what I do, no matter the effort that we put in, it may not be seen as enough. My employees may not see it as enough or be reflective of the effort. And I thought that was very powerful. I thought that he was very genuine. But to advance in this work, I believe three things have to be there. The leader has to be absolutely committed to this, no matter what, because it is challenging. And so commitment is the first thing. Two, the recognition that this is not going to be easy. And the third thing is being honest, truthful, and transparent.
What is your silly side?
Oh, my Lord. Do we have all day?
I'll give you an extra minute, yeah.
So my silly side is doing anything and everything that brings just a deep gut busting laugh with my grandsons. They're just amazing. They bring, you know, just the silliness out of me. And there's no holes barred. I roll around on the floor. We play baseball, frisbee, whatever it takes to have fun together.
When did you become a Trekkie?
Oh, my God. We have to go back to junior high school. Yeah. So I am a devotee. I've seen every episode of the early Star Trek shows. And I just love science fiction.
What's the, is there a sign with your fingers you
yes,
can make?
Live long and prosper.
There we go. Tell me about the importance of family.
Critical. Critical. That is my center. That is my joy. That is my purpose. And it's something that is just so central to who I am. But it's not just my immediate family, but it's also my extended family. My cousins, my aunts, and my friends. My friends are my family. And so it's an extension of family. And it's very important. It's very important to relationship. It's very important to your mindfulness. It's very important to your spirituality.
Why is it important that I ask you what's your favorite bird?
Oh, my Lord. I knew you were going to ask me that. So my favorite bird is the hummingbird. But my dream is to go see the majestic bird of paradise. So I've just got into bird watching for the last couple of years. And so I am getting into it. It's amazing. And it makes me look up to find them. And it also makes me look up at the sky when it's blue and beautiful.
Besides catching a glimpse of the majestic birds of paradise, what's still on your bucket list?
Oh, my Lord, what isn't? You know, I'm a person that likes to try new things. So I have, that's my first. My second is I would like to go to see Hagia Sophia. I would like to go to Constantinople. I'd like to go to Turkey. And I would like to spend 10 days in Santorini doing absolutely nothing and eating lots of chocolate and chocolate ice cream.
Wonderful. Let's start yesterday. Do you have a motto to share?
So lately, with the things that we have been going through, I tell myself every day to keep positive, to be empathetic, and to show grace, because we never know what someone is going through. And we never know that the words that we may speak may either motivate someone, bring positivity, or it was exactly what they needed to hear.
Thank you for your inspiration and motivation. CEO, founder, La Fuente Consulting, Anna L. Ramirez Signs.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to this edition. Powerful Women, Let's Talk. I'm Shelley Irwin.
Produced by women, about women. These powerful podcasts focus on powerful women and how their strength transforms who we are and how we live. Want to hear more Powerful Women Let's Talk? Get additional interviews at wgvu.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Please rate and subscribe. Powerful Women Let's Talk is made possible in part by Family Fair, keeping it real. It is produced by WGVU at the Meyer Public Broadcast Center at Grand Valley State University. The views and opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of WGVU, its underwriters, or Grand Valley State University.